Welcome to another edition of Showtime with Coop. Insightful BS with my Lakers teammates and NBA legends. And in the house today, I got one of my teammates that I admire so much. You know what? I was just saying his name. Wes Matthews, Senior. Not yes, Junior, Senior. How you doing, Wes?
Everything's well, Coop, man. How you doing? And, man, thanks for having me on your show, brother. This is really cool, man.
Wes, you know what? First of all, you have the honor of being my first guest of 2023. So I just want you to know that you hold high standards for me. The second bad thing, that's a good thing. The second bad thing is, Wes, I thought I was not the sharpest tack in the box with computers, but you have beaten me, Wes.
Hey, Coop, man. They didn't have these when we came up, man.
Exactly. That's why it was so amusing and stuff to listen to you struggle. Because about 4 months ago, I used to sound like that, Wes. Luckily, you have a good significant other standing by you, helping you. Because my wife always helped me with this stuff here.
Hey, we're nothing without him, buddy. You can believe that.
There but you
hey,
go. Man, all right, Wes, let's get started, baby. What was it like growing up for you in Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut? What was that like?
Well, Bridgeport, Connecticut was similar to growing up in Watts or in Compton, man. It was tough, man. You know, we were drug infested. You know, we had a lot of gangs, a lot of shooting and all that stuff. But through the grace of God, I had a basketball that kept me away from all that. You know, I knew all the big gangsters and pimps and all that, but they knew to protect me and keep me away from all that stuff because my goal was to be an NBA player one day. And we're still cool to this day, but I thank them for keeping me off the streets.
I heard that, Wes. You know what? Ditto to that, man. Listen, give me two things that your parents told you when you were young that you still hold true and dear to your heart today.
Be humble and respect others at all times. And another one I throw in is just be you. I mean, don't try to do something that you're not able to do. Stay within your lane and be you and trust in God, and everything else will fall in place.
So were you always a good player in high school, Wes? Talk to us a little bit about your high school career.
Yeah, I was a damn good player in high school, believe it or not. I ended up being a high school All-American. I come from a small town where nobody really knew me, but I was averaging 35 as a sophomore and 40 as a senior. Yeah, man, I was putting that ball in the hole.
And that, with that broke jumper you had like that, or was you getting
you
to the
basket? Broke jumper? But hey, but it fell. Plus, at the same time, you know, we didn't have the three-pointer, so we had to be able to get buckets. So I was, you know, I like to drive. I believe in going to the hole, getting contact. I had a great high school career that led me to go to the University of Wisconsin, where I ended up playing 3 years there before I went pro.
And that's what I was going to ask you, Wes, that transition, was it hard for you going from high school to college? It was difficult for me. My grades were terrible, so I went to a junior college after high school. But for you, you went straight to a four-year. I mean, tell us about your transition.
Yeah, but it was tough. I had the same situation, man. We weren't academically, I wasn't prepared for a big 10 school. So I ended up ineligible my second half of my freshman year. So I had to get my grades right. And then at the same time, my coach said, there's no basketball without grades. So I had to buckle down. You know, I thought basketball was going to slide me through or take that little C and be happy. That wasn't the case. You had to be exceptional, which made me a better person down the road. But in the beginning, the transition was tough. Basketball was easy, but the education side was a little difficult.
So you finally accomplished that. And again, finishing up there, you were the 14th pick in 1980. You were drafted by the Washington Bullets. Did you think you were going to be a pro player before that?
I kind of felt it because I had a couple other pros, while Frank Olenek and Walt Luckett, who had already been in the pros, and I was tearing their asses up on the basketball court. So I said, if they can do it, I can do it too. So, you know, once I did my research after my junior year at the University of Wisconsin, and I talked to a couple of pro scouts, they said, if you come now, you go first 20, or next year you be top 10. I said, I'll take the top 20 right now because I got to go feed my family. You know, that little 80,000 was a lot of money back then.
You know, Wes, that's so funny that you said that when you talk to other people about going to the pros. You know, I didn't have that opportunity to talk to other people, but somebody I kind of patterned my game after. Remember Charlie Scott from North Carolina?
Oh, no question.
Charlie was skinny and was a good player. You know, I was a thin player too. So it's funny that you would talk to people and emulate because, again, back then, NBA was tough coming to the league. I came in 1979-80, and it was difficult.
No. I came in right after you, Coop. I came in 80. I came in the year Magic went in, and right after Magic, it came over, man, and it was tough. Back then, you got to remember, I went in as a hardship case. So it's either I made it or I didn't. Now they call it lottery. Shit, if I would know I was a lottery pick back then, it was a different scenario.
You now, demanded more money?
Man, I was demanding a ton of money right now. The running joke is I told my mother she had me 40 years too soon. Because right now, look at the money they pay these dudes to sit on the bench on 1.7, 3.5 just to sit out and not even play. Man, we would have sit over there and been happy as hell for 2.6. But we put up with a lot of shit, man. But again, remember, Coop, we didn't have 2-, 3-, 4-year deals. It was a 1-year deal every year. So either you was good enough to come back to training camp or you better go find a real job.
So, Wes, your first year, how much money did you make?
$63,000. I still got the damn check. I still got the contract. I, you know, back then, again, there wasn't a lot, you know, the slots where you could go 1 through 15. This is how much you're going to get. Back then, you had to negotiate. And so, Joe Carroll went number one that year. And this idiot only signed for $85,000. So the price went up. I'm like, Joe, why you take $85,000? Man, now everybody else fall behind you. So we had to take what he had to get. So he negotiated a 1-year deal for $63,000. And I thought that was like $10
million. Hey, Wes, you know what? When I came in, you made more than me my first 2 years. When I came in, I signed for $30,000, man, 1 year.
You gotta be kidding me. You signed for 30? You're kidding me.
$30,000. My first year, Wes, I got hurt. So I was glad to have that because they kept me on the injury reserve. My second year, I came back. That was 80, and I was ready to play. $30,000 again, man.
Man, they owe us some money, man. I think that league owe us a lot of money, bro. And here you are about to be a Hall of Famer, and you telling people you made $30,000. So imagine how Jerry West and them felt when they was making $15,000.
I was truly what they call a steal. So, Wes, you know what? You are a true journeyman. You came in the league, you got drafted by the Bullets, but you played for the Hawks, the 76ers, the Spurs, the Bulls, and then you ended up with the Lakers. Who was some of your favorite teammates on those teams?
Well, believe it or not, man, I always gravitated to the big boys. So, you know, when I was in Washington, Kevin Porter was my mentor. Wes Unseld was a mentor. Of course, when I got to Chicago, I had to motherfucking maintain Michael because Michael thought he was really good. But, you know, I've always gravitated to the big names. When I was in San Antonio, George Gervin took me under his wings.
Oh, I love Ice, man. Didn't you love Ice? Ice, oh, a good guy, man.
That dude is the dude, man. And then when I got to Atlanta, I had Dominique. So, believe it or not, man, like I said, I was telling somebody the other day, I think you're going to make like the 16th or 17th Hall of Famer that I play with. Because I've been around a whole bunch of the great ones, bro. And not to say that, you know, my favorite teammates were mostly big men, believe it or not.
Yeah. Wes, who was, of all those teams, what was your favorite team?
Oh, come on, man. You know the Lakers got the, you see what I got on, baby? I mean, I had a great time busting y'all asses when I was in San Antonio.
You know the story that Magic tells, don't you? You know that story when Wes is going crazy out there scoring 35. We said, Wes, that was the game plan to let you score.
That's a great damn story. But like I said, I appreciate that game plan because it brought me over there to y'all. I mean, once I got to L.A., man, and I was around you and Byron and Magic and the crew, man, we were so locked in to win it all, man. That's when basketball got really fun for me. Because I was always having to prove myself. Because again, we was on 1-year deals. I always had to go somewhere and make a team. I knew I was talented good enough, but when they all accepted me and brought me over there, bro, I wanted to ride into the sunset, bro.
That was heavy. And that was the one thing I appreciate and loved about you. First of all, I see you as kind of like a smaller version of me. You're being 6'2", 6'3", I'm 6'5", 6'6". But you have that tenacity, that aggressiveness, that's I'm gonna kick your ass today. And that's what we loved about it. What people don't realize about that Laker teams back there in those days, especially that 80 championship team, that our bench and our practices were tougher than what these guys were gonna see in most games. So I think we, that old saying, iron sharpens iron, we always had them guys ready. Wouldn't you agree?
Ain't no question, there's no question about it, Coop. Me and you used to tear Magic and Byron's ass up every single day. But what made it so sweet though was we would tell them, if we're tearing your ass up, you want to be ready when you see somebody else my size or when you see somebody Coop's size. You should be prepared. Because, like you said, our bench could have played and started anywhere in the anywhere in the league. Yeah, we were just sure. That good. I mean, that second unit we had was crazy, Coop. But I love the fact that the people don't believe, and I tell them, man, our practices was harder than the games. Because we scrimmage hard every day. We pushed each other. We did have no animosity. We knew at the end of the day. I tell the story about the time we lost two in a row. We were 21-2. And we had a two-game losing streak. Imagine calling goddamn team only me. They're like, what the hell is this? I'm coming from San Antonio. I'm coming from San Antonio. I lose 40, 50 games a year. We lose two, and now we got to beat it? I was like, oh, this is special, and this is different. This is kind of different over here. But I'll tell you what I did. I love playing with you, man. You told me a lot. And like you said, if I was 6, you were the prototype size I wanted to be, 6'6". Fast, linky, can dunk, play D, but you brought it out of me. Because remember, when we started hawking down, bro, Pat went to me and you to go lock that D down.
Toughest backcourt there.
BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting for football and basketball this season. You'll find the latest odds, team matchup information, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. Always your continued source for sports wagering information. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
You listen to Showtime with Coop and insightful BS with my Laker teammates and NBA legends. And I got one of my favorite teammates on the show, Wes Matthews. Wes, we're at the point of the show now where I call it Coop's lightning round. I'm going to ask you five names and you tell me as much or as little about the names I'm getting ready to bring up to you. Okay.
Okay.
Xavier McDaniels.
I still want to whoop his ass. To this day. Xavier, good player. I respect him. But, you know, he had the Lakers in front of him. That's not like anybody else. It's going to be a bad day when you play the Lakers show.
Greg Popovich.
Didn't get to know Pop that well because I had confidence in him, but I think he's a bright mind. I think he's right on their path as far as X's and O's in a coach.
Michael Jordan.
Hell of a basketball player. Could be an asshole sometimes, but he's a great dude. I mean, but if you need a bucket, he can get one. I think he's an exceptional player.
Kobe Bryant.
Loved him. Sad he's gone. We played against his father most of the time, but I had a pleasure of meeting him, man. I thought he was a special kid.
And last but not least, Magic Johnson.
Oh, that's Buck Rowe. The ultimate point guard, ultimate party animal, the ultimate person, very good teammate. And you only get to meet special people like yourself and Magic while once in a lifetime, man. So I think all of them are special in their own unique ways.
Wes, you know, you're probably one of the influx of former players whose kids are coming into the league. I just saw something in the paper. You know, you just to name a few, Scottie Pippen's son, LeBron James' son. My son is in the mix now a little bit. Your son is in the league. What are your thoughts on that? Did you ever groom him? Did you think he would be a pro player?
I did. Well, you gotta remember, you all blessed him. Y'all anointed him when he was fucking 48 hours old. Remember, we went back to San Antonio.
That's right.
And you all held him and touched him and anointed him. But I knew he had the skills just based on his DNA from me and his mother, who was a great athlete as well. So I'm just happy to be able to watch him. He found his own niche. He's very similar to you. Very good defender. Don't take no shit. And if you leave him over, he's gonna knock that three ball down. So he found his niche, and I support him. I just left Pat Riley. I was in Miami this weekend to watch them play Miami. But it's just an honor, man, because there's a lot of great players that don't have kids up there. So to have mine up there, man, is truly special. And
did you give him that thing where he do the three-point shot? No. Did he come up with that, or you come up with that?
I did bow and arrow. Coop, it's crazy. I'm still playing the 50 and over, and I pull it out on people, and they be like, they go that I've been pulling out the bow and arrow. See, but remember, Coop, we couldn't do no kind of stuff like that back in the day. They were fine.
I mean, and three-point shot now is more – back then it was it's more of a weapon now than when it was for us, because we were always taught championship to one in the paint. So you throw it in, double team happens, you swing it around, and then you took that shot. These guys now come down. That's part of the offense.
Cool. Them motherfuckers is getting up 55 threes a game. We didn't get up 55 threes in a season because it was situational basketball. It wasn't a shot. I mean, even you were a great three-point shooter, Byron. You all didn't even have what? How many threes you shot in your career, maybe?
Wes, I probably think one season, I might have shot maybe 20, 25 threes
in a game. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Byron might have shot another 30.
Yeah.
Larry Bird, if he shot 50 during the season, that wasn't a weapon of choice. It was a situational basketball. You need a three to win it, or you need a three to tie it. We weren't coming down jacking that thing up, man. We would look at you like, you crazy. You come down there shooting 17 threes in a game. And no two-pointers.
Kareem would have cursed us out. Kareem and Worthy.
Cat would have kicked all our ass. He would have jujitsu every last one of us in that locker room. Like, yo, man, you don't bring me this, bro. And Clever, too. Clever would have been looking at us like we crazy.
Wes, you coming to the team. Talk to us a little bit about when you got there, as opposed playing the Celtics, as opposed to playing them when you were with the other team, playing them against with the Lakers. Talk to us about the rivalry, and from those other teams, and then once you got with the Lakers.
Well, it was to me when I was with Atlanta, we played them in the playoffs, and when I was with San Antonio, it was just like playing the Celtics. It was like just going to Boston, kick their ass, get the hell out of here, because Boston's not a favorite. Because it's not one of our favorite places. But when I became a Laker, and it wasn't, I honestly can say this, it wasn't until I retired and I started watching video that I was in one of the best series of all time. Back then that was our job. So we just went to work. Just go to work. I didn't understand the logistics of they played each other 15 times in the finals. They got 17. We got 17. I wasn't paying. We didn't pay all that no attention. We just ball. But after I left the league, I was like, shit, we played in the Boston Garden against the Celtics in a Lakers-Celtics series?
And that like, old shitty arena. Not they knew when we played in that one that wasn't shit.
That piece of shit-ass Boston Garden that had holes in the floor. Remember the time, Coop? It was 85 degrees outside. It was 120 in the building. They turned the heat on. Dirty fucks. They turned the heat on us, man. And that's what Magic, you imagine saying, oh, don't worry about it. We just get warm, and we're going to go out there and tear their ass up. And when they hit that hook shot, me and you said, let's go home. You ain't coming back here no more. And they were mad. But I didn't realize the magnitude, Coop, until after I was gone, that was the series of all series. And I laugh and I love it because when I go to Boston, I wear Laker gear, I'll be proud. And yeah, we remember we kicked your ass. They'd be like, man, get that Laker gear off. Yeah, man, fuck you and Boston. How about that?
Hey, Wes, which Celtic did you hate the most?
The Celtic that did ML Carr. I wanted to punch him in his face every time I saw him. I mean, God forbid he was a decent player, but he talked so much shit, bro. Come on, man. I mean, I didn't play a lot, but I didn't talk shit to another player. You sitting there talking shit to you on the bench too, so shut the hell up. I wanted to kill ML, but and then I had a me and Joe Henderson became good friends. We started playing golf together. We laugh and joke. You talk about Joe Worthy, man. I still got that pass I picked off. I said, you tell him he'll punch you in your face because we still about that.
Wes, you know what? You're funny, man. I love you, Wes Matthews. Hey, listen, Wes, you know, we had a great opportunity to be some part of something special, obviously with the Los Angeles Lakers. Yes. But when we retired, we just recently, what was that, 2-3 months ago, we had a Laker reunion. Man. Talk to me about that reunion we had in Maui.
Man, let me tell you something, man. You saw, I cried every damn day, man. Every time they said something, I was crying because I was just so happy to be around my brothers again, man. It shouldn't have took 30 years for us to do that, but unfortunately it did. But it was the greatest moment. It was great. I put that right up there with the goddamn parade, Coop.
Yeah.
It was just that special, man, yeah. Because only the special ones that was a part of it knew. And for Magic and Rouse to put that together the way they put that together, man, we should do that twice a year, goddamn it, somewhere. That was absolutely fabulous, well thought out, perfectly placed. The only problem I had was that sitting in the back of the plane. That shit hurt me. I was too little to be in the back. So next time we gotta get Riles to sit in private because it was a lot of the big fellas, Mike Schmeck and all the big dudes, they had a hard time. Chuck and them had a hard time sitting on the 38th row of the big ass play. But other than that, man, it was beautiful, man. I think it showed us that how special we really were. Then Riles going back, pulling out the videos of how special we really were, man. I mean, Coop, that was come on, man. We were the first team to do that in 19, 20 years, bro.
Back hey, Wes, what speech touched you the most? Because for our listeners, everybody had an opportunity, and that was the great part about it. Magic kind of, like he did on the court, choreographed everything. But yeah. He had people come up and speak every day and tell about their feelings and what team meant to them. If there was one speech that touched your heart, because I'm like you, Wes. I was almost crying whenever somebody, Mike Schmert, got up and said some things. You know, Milt Wagg, all the guys. What speech touched you the most?
Besides you and, I mean, they all did. But I tell you, Spencer's was a hell of a speech.
Yeah.
Spencer Haywood was a hell of a speech, man. Spencer.
That was the one that got me too, Wes. Because you know what? Wood had some difficulties at that time and came up. And man, when he started speaking, man, he told it straight from how it was. And that made you respect that man even more to where he was standing that day.
I came after Spencer, but I played against him, but I knew him. I knew some of the stories. But for him to succeed the way he succeeded and coming after he just lost his wife, man, that was touching, man. Because I don't know if I could have pulled that one off if I just lost my best one. But that was a great moment. I think Rouse did a great job with the music and bringing the videos and show us what we were really about, because I think half of us didn't realize just how fucking good we were until we all retired.
Yep.
Because that was our job. That was our business. We had to go get that. And I mean, it was special, man. I got to play golf with Clever and Eddie J and Byron. It was so special, man.
I didn't know you were that good of a golfer. You're pretty good out there.
Hey, Coop,
what's wrong?
I had to put the basketball down for a minute and find something else to do competitive. So I picked it up late, but it's a very challenging game. I really enjoyed it, man. And then just the camaraderie of the people you can roll out with, man. You know what I'm saying? How many people say they play golf with Clever and James Worthy every fucking day? Nobody.
Who's that? You know what, Wes? I don't think any other team could have put something like that together, because you know what? We truly, truly loved each other and liked each other. Not many teams can say that.
Not too many teams can say that. Not too many championship teams can say that. Because everybody had their own different little opinions and little different innuendos. One thing about what Pat did, Pat made everybody check their egos at the door. I didn't give a damn if you was Magic, Kareem, you, me, from the goddamn Water Boys to Rudy to fucking Gary Vee. Everybody knew their role. And that's what made us special. And yep. Nobody bickered. Nobody said nothing about playing time. All we wanted to do was take it out on that next team where we got the next day. And that's what made us so special, man. And then for us to now be back, join it together, man, you don't know how many players really needed that, man, needed this. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of us didn't have great careers after that. A lot of us did, you know, we did okay, but not like some of them. But for us to still be connected and still be in love like we just left each other out of practice is crazy. That's yeah. what made it special.
Hey, you listening to Showtime with Coop, my boy Wes Matthews Sr., because his son is playing, so I can't say just Wes Matthews anymore, because the junior is doing his thing out on the court. I got my dog, my little one, my man, Wes Matthews here. Wes, a couple more questions for you. I know you're busy. I want to thank you for spending time with us. Your thoughts on the NBA today?
I appreciate it. The NBA today, it's hard to watch, Coop, because of the analytics and driving in the lane and the basket's right there. You're driving the kick because you say three is more than two. Yeah, but two is easier to get than a three. So it's the game of runs are still the same, but it's just something ain't there, man. Something is missing as far as tenacity. And then I never seen, you know, the load management, people taking day offs and stuff like that. Come on, man. You tell Magic to take the day off. I'm starting Coop West.
I know.
Magic look at you like you fucking crazy. Like, I don't care, man. I'm playing unless I'm in a cast. I mean, that's how we were built. So I respect it. I respect the fact that we've made it even greater than what it is. Because without the doors that we've opened for these young dudes and for these dudes to get the money and to play the way they're playing, it all started with players like us and even the Havlicek's, the Chamberlain's, the Willis Reeves, the Frazier's. Those dudes are the pioneers that allow these dudes to be where they are. And I just would like to see them be a little bit more humble and give back to respectability of the people that did it before.
I heard that, Wes. I'm with you on that. Wes, you know what? LeBron is about to do something real spectacular, man. He's about to, on the verge of breaking Kareem's scoring record. This year, they're saying it's going to happen this year, but, you know, within the next 2 years. If he does that, who would you consider the greatest of all time? Go.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem will always be the GOAT to me, bro. I mean, yes, it's a hell of a feat. But me as a person, I love what LeBron's done, his what he's did for the league, what he's done for himself, what he's done for his family and people is great. His basketball abilities is off the charts, but he has a three-pointer. You're talking Kareem with 38,000 with two threes in his whole career. So, yeah, he's on the verge, but I'm still going to – even if he does give it – I hope he just breaks it by two and just calls it a day, retire, and call it respectability. But that shouldn't be his lifelong goal, because at the end of the day, the chips is what's happening. Yeah. He needs more championships than he does points. But he should break it soon, because he ain't got nobody on that damn team that can score. He got to shoot it every damn time.
He's shooting all the time.
He's shooting 28 attempts a game. Could you imagine you shoot 28 attempts a game, Coop?
That's my arm would have fell off. If I got 15 shots, bro.
That's my point. These dudes is getting up 28 shots and 16 over threes. So, you know, my goal, and I'll take it to my grave, will be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, bro. I mean, okay. Not just because I play with him. I just think anybody that changes the game, revolutionized the game with one shot, is awfully special. Awfully special.
Wes, who comes out the East this year?
Boston looks pretty good right now. But I got to go. I'm going Milwaukee-Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, who's coming out the West?
Got to watch Denver. Denver looks pretty damn good. Denver
and
looks
they'll be playing?
Yeah.
And they'll be playing who?
I would say I'd like to see a Milwaukee-Denver series. I think Milwaukee, if Middleton comes back strong and Bud starts coaching like he's supposed to, I think they'll be legit. But so, you know,
you're saying Wes, Milwaukee's gonna beat Boston to come out
east. Yeah. With a healthy Middleton, I think they get there. If Middleton's come back last year, if they were there last year, I think they get Boston in seven. But
okay, and so you have Milwaukee, Denver. Who's the champion?
Ooh, I gotta go with the Bucks. I like what Denver did. I mean, bringing Caldwell Pope over there. And Murray's playing really good. You gotta ask me that question after February when I see who's playing after All-Star break.
And I want to know that question not coming from your heart, but from your basketball head.
I gotta go.
I know you talk. Look, you saying that because your son's on the team.
Yeah, but that too. But I still like their nucleus. They have a really good setup nucleus. It's just a matter of whoever's gonna go healthy down the stretch, man. If anybody gets hurt, that could change. You could throw Memphis in them. You could throw Memphis in there if they start rolling. I mean, it's just a matter of who's hot at the right time. You know, the first like Rouse used to say, the first win is 16, win it all.
Yep. That's it. Hey, Wes, you know what? Let's talk about something that happened. That's a couple more questions. Everybody, we got Wes Matthews Sr. on the Coop Showtime with Coop Show. There was an incident that happened early in the season with the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, Draymond punched Jordan. Had he punched you, what would happen?
We'll still be fighting. One of us would have to go. One of us would have had to go. There would be no talk either. I'm out of here.
You couldn't pull it together for the team's sake?
No, we'll get together for the team's sake, but we're going to iron this out, though. We go in the locker room and y'all just, you know, put them in a circle. Let's get this shit over with. Now what's... Whoever get their ass whooped, we call it a day. Now let's go back to work. But you know, just to just blast that kid like that, and you know you 240, 250, that kid's made $190, and you just blast him like that. I mean, it had to be something really personal, but we would have got that in. We would have closed the doors. It wouldn't have never got to the media, and you would have never known what happened. We got a championship to go get.
Wes, we the fault till I won. That's my saying on it. We're going to fight till I win. If you say I don't want no more, then I figure I won. That's when we're going to stop.
And it wouldn't have been a fair fight. Whatever the closest chair, whatever I can get my hands on, bro. Because you bigger than me. I got to go get my weapons, man. Because you put, yeah, I mean, but, you know, Draymond apologized. I mean, it happens all the time. You know, we had fights in practice, elbows in practice. I mean, that's just the nature of the game. But We never got that far with get physical, putting your hands on the people, because, you know, we were crazy.
Yeah.
Ain't no coaches holding us. Ain't no players holding us. Man, get out the damn way. Let's get this over with, bro, because we got business to take care of. Basketball was our business. So I respect that, you know, they talked it out, but shit, it seemed like they got worse. They can't beat nobody on the road.
And you know what, Wes, I really believe that has something to do with it. But I see the Warriors. They still got that heart of a champion. I see them coming out of the West. I like Denver, as you're saying, but those guys got that championship heart, man, and they'll pull it together.
You know what? I kind of totally forgot about them, but you better watch them, because they're the defending champs. And they're wounded, but, bro, they play the game so good. They play it properly. I mean, I see them and Denver coming out of the West. If Denver plays, only thing I'm worried about with Golden State is they can't fucking win on the road for some stupid reason.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll change around after All-Star break. But, you know, I respect Clay and Steph and Draymond and them for what they've done. I mean,
and you know what, Wes, I'm like you. I think health is going to be a big problem for all teams. Denver goes lose a couple of players, then their chances going out the window too. So, Wes, you know what? You had a great career, and you ended up playing overseas as well as I did. Once I left, I went and played in Milan, Rome, Italy for Il Messaggero team. You played for several teams over there. How was that like playing over there? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed the culture. We had just went through the hustle and bustle of 9 years in the NBA, so it was a different grind. So to go over there and play once a week, twice a week, that was right up my alley. In fact, I missed you when you got over, because I ended up in Varese, Italy. And I used to play against McAdoo and D'Antoni.
Wes, I whooped your ass when I got over there because I had a whip. I had a green light. McAdoo and Michael Ray fucked me up. I think I got you with
Yo, in fact, me and Michael Ray played the All-Star game together. And we played the All-Star game against the Italians. Michael Ray had 56 and I had 62. Yo, we was over there clowning because, you know, ain't no Italian stopping me, man. You out of your damn mind. Y'all don't know nothing about this game over here, man. This is what we do with the pros. We give you buckets. But my overseas career was more for me to decompress, but at the same time, still stay visible in the game of basketball because the NBA, they love NBA players over there, so it gave me the opportunity. I did Italy, Spain. I did the Philippines. I did
China. You're moving around over there, Wes. You moved around a lot.
I did another 7-8 years over there just moving around to other countries.
And you that know, money was just as good.
The money was good as hell, too. So I thought it was a really good way to end the career by seeing other countries, learning different dialects. That's when I got to meet Kobe when he was a little boy over when his father was over there. Uh-huh. So it was a learning experience, but it was good. I wouldn't change it for the world.
What's your thoughts on the Lakers right now? What do they need to do to come back? What do they need to do to get into the playoffs? And if they get into the playoffs, what do they need to win?
Well,
let's start with him.
First of all, AD has to come to work.
Yeah.
We ain't seen AD in about 3 years since the bubble. So I need AD to bring whatever he can bring every single night because he's a terror when he's on the basketball court. I need a healthy AD. I need a better bench coming off that pine because I'm not too – I mean, I like how Westbrook has tamed himself to the point where he's like, I'm going to do what I got to do to make this team better and not be the scapegoat. I love that part, what he's doing, because he's a valuable basketball player outside of what he's doing. But I just think they need to get in the locker room, man, and say, what do we really want to do like we used to do? What are we here for? Yeah. Are we here to get paychecks or are we here for chips? Because Lakers is about chips. So now you got to sacrifice. And I don't see the sacrifice on everybody's part. I love Darwin Ham. He got his hands full, but he's handicapped without AD.
Wes Matthews. I mean, Wes, I can't tell you how much I love you enough, brother. I ultimate respect for you and everything that you've done, and our friendship goes deeper than this. And just glad that you took time out. Wes, what do you got going on now? Talk to us about what you're doing in the community in your hometown.
Well, I'm doing a lot. I just retired from coaching. I was at a private academy at Greenwich Academy. I just retired from there. But I got a new venue that I'm going to have to include you in. I'm working with a group to bring a prep school to Los Angeles. We're working on bringing a Putnam Science Academy to Los Angeles in the next 2 years. That's our project. We've been working on that for the last year and a half. So we're almost done. We're still looking for the property and the land. We're going to do a boarding school / we already have one in Connecticut who wins national championships. We put out 35 to 40 Division I kids every year, male and female, in all sports. So we want to take it to the West Coast. We're looking to bring it on the West Coast in the next 2 years. Doing that, man, personal training and just watching my son, man. Watching son and play.
Wes, if people want to donate, how can they donate or get involved? Is there, you have a Instagram
We just have a link. Hold on. The donation is going to Putnam Science Academy. It's PutnamScienceAcademy.org, and they can look it up and see. And we're taking donations. We're really starting to get off the ground to come to Los Angeles. We thought that would be a great melting pot, being that it's diverse, and diversity is key with us. But the key component is we're not just a prep school for sports. We're education first. So I got to reach out to Kareem and see what he's doing with his stem cell because we're a stem program. So we want to include that. So I'm going to bring in the whole family, the whole Laker family. Once we go ahead and get it finalized, I got to come back on your show and talk about it. And we'll give you some more logistics on it. But, man, just staying busy, man. Just trying to stay healthy. Try to stay good looking like you. In fact, the next coaching job you get, I better be on that bench.
Wes Matthews, I love you, man. Brother, thank you so much. I know it's difficult for us to finally make this connection. We were supposed to do this long time ago, but better late than never, baby, like the Showtime reunion. We got over there together. Wes, I love you, man, more than you know, little brother. Take care of yourself, man.
You already know, man. And you tell Nick, stay healthy. And he got my numbers and stay in touch. But I'll be in touch with you, though, Coop, man, and to your fans, man. I'll be there when he goes into the Hall of Fame because he's right down the road in Springfield. And believe me, when you get that call, young fella, I'm there. You can believe that.
Don't be surprised if I kiss you on the lips, okay? Later, later, Wes. Love you, man.
All right, buddy.
Okay. Peace.